In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A great deal of Scripture is pictures, not statements, not lists of doctrines, but pictures. And of course, the same picture can be used in all kinds of ways. The vine is not an uncommon picture in the Bible. There's the picture of the children of Israel as the vine which God planted and went bad. Why on earth are you tearing down this vine that you planted, Lord? Why are you letting the brambles to overtake it? And the answer, of course, is because of the faithlessness of the people of Israel. And then there's the picture of the vine growers who rented a vineyard and didn't produce the fruit for the owner. And that owner came down hard on them, destroying them. And there's this picture of Jesus as the vine. Because you get a look at vines in this world, they vary too. There's a vine at the bottom of our garden. Really quite a big trunk comes up, and then it branches out, and then it gets very thin as those branches grow and grow and grow and grow and grow, and they tangle with each other, and they produce quite a lot of grapes, but they're absolutely tiny. One way or another, it hasn't received quite the attention it perhaps ought to. But that's actually not a bad picture of today's church, is it? A lot of rather thin, spindly branches, each of them struggling a little bit. Yes, producing fruit, but in individually tiny amounts. It comes to quite a lot altogether, but it's not ideal. And the other picture, of course, you can get is of a vine. I used to walk the dog past a great row of vines in Stonehouse once upon a time. All neat and tidy, growing up from the ground and basically spaliered down rows. Very neat and tidy, dead easy to pick, I guess, and producing lots of fruit. I've not actually tasted the wine from there. They tell me it's pretty good, and then I wouldn't know. The difference between those two things, between the one at the bottom of our garden and the ones that are used commercially, a great deal of care goes into these things, and a lot of it is pruning to get a vine to go shaped into neat rows, uniform height and thickness, producing large grapes. You have to prune it. And that takes some skill, which is one of the reasons I'm reluctant to settle down to pruning the vine that's in the bottom of our garden. I haven't got much clue how to do it. Because it's very easy when you're pruning to cut things right off, to cut the most productive bits off. What you're looking to take off is the branches that have proved to be totally useless, that are dead. Harder than you imagine to spot which bits of a plant are dead and which are alive sometimes. But the pruning is intended to shape, to encourage. And of course, if we apply that as a picture of us as the church, it's quite a painful one sometimes. But that's the idea. To shape us, to encourage us to see fruit coming from our lives. And Jesus pictures the whole plant, not just individual branches growing vaguely in the ground, best they can. It's an invitation to look at ourselves and then to look at what we belong to. To look at the fruit we're producing. Think about how many buds, what size of fruit comes from them, we produce. And don't let yourselves get depressed about the amount of fruit your Christian lives are producing. You may be a bit like our vine, producing hundreds and hundreds of tiny, tiny grapes. God can still use those. But he does also want the big, juicy grapes. And maybe because you're doing too much. Maybe your Christian lives need pruning. Maybe you need to concentrate on one particular thing, one particular person maybe. It's very easy, isn't it, to pray for the whole world and it doesn't mean a thing. Should our prayer be much more focused? Should it be on a few particular individuals? It's not a question I can answer for any one of you. But it's a question we need to ask of our lives. How much pruning do we need in every aspect of our lives? Not for the sake of cutting things out, but so the rest of our lives can be more fruitful, more effective, more joyful. And of course we can ask, how much are we exposed to the sun, to the rain? How much are we really drawing from the roots that we put down? It's the kind of question that Jesus wants us to ask ourselves in this picture, surely. Are we really drawing from outside ourselves, from the depths of Jesus? Or are we managing as best we can, trying very hard to be good people? That's the difference, surely, between being a Christian in the service of the kingdom of God and being a Christian, you can be fairly proud of them being a Christian. What they're doing. Abide, says Jesus, in me. That means allowing the Spirit to speak. My words, says Jesus, abide in you. At least if they do, you can be fruitful. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Yes, if you tear a branch off a vine and stick it in the ground, it stands a bit of a chance of putting down roots, I guess. But it's not going to work at all well. Branches belong together on a tree, on the vine, abiding with one another in that vine. If they do, the vine is pruned so that it's doing the best job where it's important, producing decent sized grapes, producing lots of buds. Then, says Jesus, if you're exposed to the sun, drawing from the roots, allowing the rain to wash you. You, he says, can ask what you will and you'll get it. Which is fairly extraordinary. But remember, that's only if you ask as someone who's deeply rooted in the vine. And if we're rooted in Jesus, we will be asking what he wants, what God wants, rather than what we want. So ask, says Jesus, what you will, and you will receive it. But for that to be true, you need to be part of this plant, of this vine. And as a branch of that vine, you can stop trying to love. You won't need to try, because you can draw on the love of Jesus. And that, of course, is what the first letter of John is all about. We love because he first loved us. Because that love of Jesus is down in our roots, we can draw on it. But we need to make a positive choice. Draw on that love rather than trying to find love in ourselves, up in the branches. Love comes from the roots. And from there it casts out fear, including fear of our own inadequacy, our own inability to love. The opposite of fear is faith. Faith that believes that whatever happens, we have the resources in Jesus to see us through. Perfect love casts out fear. And the Spirit is open to each one of us if we are open to him. Consider for a moment that story of the Ethiopian eunuch, the person who'd achieved quite a status in his own country, but somehow knew when he travelled to Jerusalem, but that wasn't enough. And he was trying to abide in the vine. The gorgeous picture of him sitting in the chariot reading. And as far as we know, when people read in those days, mostly they read aloud. Very often, of course, they had to get somebody to read for them. Ready, exposed to the word, drawing or trying to draw from those roots. The root, in this case, of the ancient tradition of Judaism, of God's chosen people. And he doesn't understand it. Somebody else from the vine, a man named Philip, comes and is told to go and join the chariot and proclaim the word of the Lord, the good news of Jesus. That's exactly what he does. The one branch benefits from the other. Together, they draw from the vine that is Jesus. And they go on to proclaim the one to Ethiopia, the one finds himself in Azotus, we're told, Don't worry about where that is. But miles apart, and yet members of that same vine that draw from each other precisely because they each of them drew from the vine that is Jesus. Pictures will take us so far. We're not, of course, passive plants that just respond to these wicked human beings that go cutting us around. We can make that decision consciously to reconnect with Jesus, as all of us will drift away at times, some more than others. We can decide to come back, and the Spirit will meet us, and through Jesus in his Spirit we become more fully children of our Heavenly Father, members together of the vine of Christ.